And we're here with Rowan Grappo of the band Master Plan. Rowan, great to have you on the show, of course. And tell us a bit about a new album you got out called Time to Be King. You know, talk about who produced it and I guess go into the details of recording the album.
What should I say? So, yeah, I produced it, basically. So normally, some years ago on the first two albums, Andy Sneap was involved. But always, I co-produced it without mentioning it, you know. So I was recording, you know, like, the vocals on the second album and on the first album, like 60%, all the overdub guitars and solo guitars I did alone, and all the bass recording. So, but on the third album, MK2, I was starting to produce the whole album, and now on the Time to Be King album, again, I just made everything alone, recording in my studio here in Slovakia. And this time I even tried to get also more into the mixing kind of, you know, direction to finish the album nearly here as much as possible, but for time problems and you know, I had a little lot of private stress, I decided to make the final mix again in Finland. And it was a little bit different this time because, like I said, I was pre-mixing it and said, I sent him the stuff, the MP3 for checking, and he said, it's fine, I just put it through the SSL fold and make some tricks, and that's it. So we just spent 3-4 days for it instead of 10 days. And so he was tweaking just my mix, I can say. So that's the kind of thing I want to make in the future as well, more controlling everything, getting involved in everything. Like, you know, even if it's not a clever idea to mix your own stuff, honestly, because it's better to have someone else, you know, with fresh ears to control it. But you can trust them, you know. So that's about the producing. The recording started, you know, like March, April last year. Of course, first we made the drum recording, and we had all the songs written, like, around 4 or 5 months before we started writing songs around Christmas. And but we didn't record the whole album at once, so like a normal production. So we had a lot of breaks between. After the drum recording, I was doing rhythm guitar, then I had a long break because I had another mixing job here for other bands, and then the bass recording was like 2 months later, and this kind of ideas, you know. So we had a lot of breaks, and honestly, I like it somehow, you know. Always when I went back to the Master Plan album, I felt very good about it. It's like after many months, you know, not listening to it because of being busy. I felt always, well, it's still great, you know, I still like it. And then when Jorn came in August for the recording the first time, he didn't finish, you know, because he didn't finish the lyrics and everything. So he had to come back 2-3 times. So the last session he made in October last year. And then, yeah, I was delaying the schedule because AFM was asking about the mixing. Is it finished? Is it finished? And then I couldn't use my solo guitar because it's always the stuff I'm doing as you know, the latest job for the recording. And so I think I finished the album on the last weekend in April or something like that. So that's a production story. What else do you wanted to know?
Well, Roland, I'm sure the question that everybody's been asking you in all of your interviews, and of course, a question that I want to ask you is Jorn. Jorn Land is back in the band, and you know, talk about how that ended up happening.
Yeah, so, you know, after the tour with Saxon, I think it's already 3 years ago, I'm not sure, 3 years ago, and I was very depressed and disappointed about the situation in the band, you know, after all the, you know, before problems we had, Jorn was leaving the band, and finding a new singer was only, basically, I was surfing and checking all the singers, and then, like, 1 week before the recording started here in Slovakia, my new studio here, so, you know, it was like 4 years ago, around that period, you know, everything was fresh and totally in stress, finishing it, and then Uli left the band as well. So the whole production was a lot of stress for me, and then after the tour, or the end of the tour, I felt this is not the right lineup, you know. I mean, Mike DeMille is a great singer, and I love his voice. And I think he did a great job on the K2 album. Somehow, I like this album still a lot. And it's just a question of taste, you know. I'm not trying to compare Jorn and Mike so much, because it was really hard to find a new singer anyway. But he did a great job, but Life was a different kind of story. You know, Life, I felt like he's not a metal guy. He's more into blues and soul music. And, of course, he has a great voice, which is reminding me a lot to you know, to you as well. And also sometimes to Jorn, he had some moments. You know. But Life, he tried not to follow the steps of Jorn's songs, which he, you know, recorded earlier, like Soulburn and all these kind of songs. So he made his own version of it on that, and I didn't like it to the fans as well, and somehow I realized it's not the right lineup, you know, after the tour he felt that I was depressed, and he called me like 6 months later, what's happening, we don't have any gigs, and. So finally he left the band and said he needs more jobs and he has to go further. And I said, okay, sorry for that, but I think it's the best way. So I didn't fire anyone, and we didn't have any big discussion. It was just a natural kind of thing. He felt the same way like I did.
Mm-hmm.
And right after, of course, like 5 days later, before the press even knew about it, I didn't make it public, honestly, too fast. I just contacted John. I said, he is, you know, the new situation, and if he's still somehow a little bit interested to come back to Masterplan, and, you know, we have to talk, of course. And I was always in contact with John. Even when Uli left the band, I called Jorn, and he was nearly coming back already, like before the MK2.
Mm-hmm.
And but he wanted to have one weekend to think about it, and then after the weekend he was talking to his band members, and I guess they told him, no, don't do it, you know, your solo career is better and more important. And so finally he said no, but before he left to, that was before the Atlanta Pop Rock Festival, where he did the Live album and the DVD. And after that festival, he came and I called him and said, no, I can't do it, maybe in 1 or 2 years. I said, oh, great, you know, super. I can't wait for that. Anyway, so we were always in contact, and there was never any big fight between Jorn and me. And so finally, he gave me the chance to talk to him, and we had a couple of meetings, and it took, like, honestly, many, many months to satisfy him with the discussions we had, that he had a good feeling, he can trust me again. I mean, it's a different situation without Uli. And finally, like the end of November or beginning of December, he said yes, now it's official for half band members. But he still wanted that I don't put it public in front of the fans, because he had some, you know, kind of deals with Frontiers to finish first, before you can make any big story about Masterplan. Yeah. So that was so not last Christmas, of course, the Christmas before.
Now the album title "Time to Be King." Is there any type of theme behind the record, and what were most of the lyrics written about?
It's definitely not a concept album or something. There was no big idea behind it. I think just John wrote song by song. Basically, he had his ideas already before he came to my studio, but honestly, he didn't finish any lyrics before he came here to my studio, which was meant to be the vocal recording part. And I said, John, okay, what should we do? You know, we have to use the time, so just sit here. I have a garden, I have a big house here, and we made some fine scenes in Slovakia. And, you know, I just didn't make any pressure on him. I said, okay, write the lyrics here. And then when you finish one song, we're just recording it. It was the first time that we worked like this, and somehow he liked it so much, he said, man, I never want to work different anymore, because he felt good, because it's away from home, he can concentrate here. And I was busy with other stuff in my studio, and basically we had a cool time. So, but all in all, there's not a big story behind this. I think it's the typical Masterplan Jorn kind of lyric writing. He wants, of course, you know, to make each song a little story about him.
Mm-hmm.
Some songs inspired him. Honestly, my private situation, like, I had some hard time last year. My girlfriend left me, and you know, I came here for her, Slovakia, honestly. And so we built this house together, and now I'm dealing too with her and her parents to get settled somehow at an end. So Jorn was totally in the middle of the conversations between her and me, and I was still together with her at the time. And so he wrote, you know, the dark road, it's about me, my story, you know, and basically my song. And the black one, the other song I wrote about her, you know. But Sandy, he was totally inspired by our private situation and trouble we had. And on the other side, of course, he has many of his own ideas and fresh ideas. And Dua Lipa, I think, was one of the highlights. And he just had the idea in the studio, what about writing about the European Union? And I really liked the idea. It was pretty cool. You know, but I think Time to be King, this song, it has for me the best message, which is representing the story of Master Plan, I would say, with Jörn coming back, and we try to be back, you know, like in the old days, we would write a song or lyrics about the Phoenix or something, you know, the typical kind of out of the ashes, coming back, stronger than before, blah, blah, blah. So we have a different message, which called just Time to be King. So.
You know, from the outside looking in, and the MK2 album, don't get me wrong, Roland, I think is a great, great record. However, I think there was a little bit of musical chemistry missing there. And the chemistry I'm talking about is what was between you and Mike DeMeo. It wasn't the same. It didn't have the same vibe. Well, I guess it didn't have as good of a vibe as it did, say, with you and Jörn Land. And having Jörn Land back in the band, does that make a huge difference for you? And, you know, was there a difference between having Jörn writing songs with Jörn as opposed to Mike DeMeo?
It's a big difference. The working with Mike DeMeo was closer somehow. So I was more telling him what I want to have, and because I know what Master Plan should have. And we tried just to copy the style of Jörn, and somehow still my songwriting or vocal melodies were quite a big influence of the melodies of Mike DeMeo, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
But the work with Jörn is totally different, you know. Of course, on the first album, Jörn was singing my melodies on 4 or 5 songs. And the rest was from him, you know. So it was a mixture. And on Aeronautic already was different, you know. Jörn was more involved on all the songs as a vocal melody writer. But this new album, he asked me if he can write whatever he wants. And I said, of course. You know, so definitely he had his freedom. And it's very easy for me to work with him now, because I just write the music with, basically with Axel. Axel is the main songwriter. He took the part of Uli, honestly. So Axel wrote one of the best songs on the album, and also four songs, honestly. And so it's very important to have him as a part, and for the vocal melodies, Jörn had totally his freedom. And then he came back to the band, we had, of course, many talkings, and he wanted to be a rock metal singer now. He doesn't want to be a progressive singer and too high and making this German, in a bad way, saying German melody, you know, like Halloween, or which we had a little bit more like on the first album, like Heroes, the song. No, this is not his favorite song at all.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that people love it, and I love it. I wrote it, you know, but somehow I had to do this compromise a little, and I think I told him, I don't care what you sing, Jörn, it's anyway good, you know. I don't need to fight with you about some little German melodies or some classical melodies with, you know, I learned from writing, of course, of Whitey, which is, of course, a great songwriter as well. And basically, I'm just happy to have Jörn back and freedom to write all the melodies like you want, you know. Mm-hmm. Only on one song, on the Dark Road, the chorus I didn't like, and I told him, and we worked together on it. I think what sound 1 hour later before you were singing it was totally the opposite, you know, and it was really great. Now it's one of my favorite songs.
Speaking of that song being your favorite, Roland, what were the lyrics about?
Oh, like I told you, it's about me, you know. I'm standing on the dark road, so you just saw my story, and of course, you know, I just see inspiration into it. And but the good thing is, the song is totally teamwork as well. When I say it's my song, it's just the basic idea. And verse and the bridge, this quiet stuff, which is more, I would say, a little bit Whitesnake sounding. It's a little bit older. I mean, it was already from a session I had with Jörn together on my mini disc player. And that was from the Aeronautics session already.
Mm-hmm.
Or after that, you know, when we finished it. and we had already songwriting sessions for the next album, and then left like 1 year later. And so I just took it and I said, man, maybe it would be cool to make this song somehow finish. And I made it in a basic way. I thought this is a kind of song. Then I went to Hamburg and I worked with Axel, our keyboard player, on it. And then finally, we made a totally different song out of it. You know, the intro part, which is more Master Planish sounding and has this funny rhythm with the changes in the middle of it. You know? And that came later in the Hamburg session when we wrote it together. And I think it was really nice teamwork. And like I said later, when Jorn, you know, he didn't like the song, honestly. I was very surprised because I thought it was cool to have something from the old days transferred to the new album. And somehow he didn't like it in the beginning, and now it's also one of the same songs. So sometimes you have to fight for your ideas, you know.
In the last 10 years, the market in the music business has changed quite a bit, and it's changed quite a bit for a lot of musicians. A lot of musicians have been struggling as far as being able to maintain a living by playing music. And, you know, how has this changed for you? How has it changed for you in the past 10 years as a musician as far as the music business goes?
I think for my feelings, first I start with my feelings. I'm getting a bit disappointed that this strong market we had 10 years ago was already changing a lot, and even at the beginning of the 90s was changing. But, you know, I had so many great years with Halloween, with big, you know, stages playing and big success of selling out. All band members could live from it easy, you know. We even had some times money-wise in the middle of the 90s, you know, everybody was with, you know, getting some all of cash. And everything was great, and now you can be happy to survive, honestly. And Jorn, of course, makes many, many, many side projects and many solo albums. And one of the reasons is just because he lives in Norway and he has a house and he has a family, he has kids. And I'm pretty sure that one of the reasons why Uli left is also because of his insecure business. Because we don't have a stable income every month. We don't have this kind of feeling, I know what I have next year, or I have a job and I can plan something on a long term. So you have to fight a little bit, you know. I think I'm the most lucky person because I have the deal, I have the record contract, and not in the beginning, but now. And so I can live from it. And now I have the bonus on the top to my studio. Many bands from the East Coast where I live here coming here, and they want to get the sound from Master Plan, or the sound what I learned from Andy Steve and you know, and this is really helping me a lot, you know. It's my private situation, and I'm still happy to be in the business, but I can imagine that many, many friends from other bands, which were like pretty big 10 years ago, really suffering now, you know, and I still believe that situation we had 10 years ago with Halloween is not there anymore, you know. I know that, and it's a shame to see how everything is melting away, and, you know, the fans are still there, you know, but they're not buying it. Everybody's used to download it, and, you know, it's like an addiction, you know, when you see everybody is not buying it, why should I pay for it, you know, this kind of, you know, situation. And honestly, I never did it. It sounds stupid, but maybe it's because I'm older. When I want a CD, I buy it, and I'm still a big Rammstein fan, and, you know, I was never downloading something from them, and I don't even know how to do it. And that's the kind of feeling situation I have. So I'm a little bit disappointed, but still with hope that, you know, that we continue. Now musicians say, album doesn't sell anymore, but people want great productions. And the funny thing is, when you make the production, everybody's complaining about the song or about, ooh, it wasn't as great like 10 years ago, or this or that. Imagine, you know, there's no budget anymore. Record labels don't give anything for advances anymore, for young bands. Like I said, I'm in a great position now, but it can happen that I'm making next album. I must have done it maybe without deals, because of the sales are getting worse and worse.
Mm-hmm.
Or I have to make a new deal because the deal I made was 10 years ago. And the advances we have now, I'm not, you know, record labels are not able to pay this anymore. So everything will change drastically now. Mm-hmm. I think it gets really worse, and many, many bands from the past will die on that level. On the other side, many, many very old bands like Spectrum or Halloween, they have such a big back catalog, you know, they can always survive with live playing or festivals. But the other middle class, like, you know, or middle famous kind of bands, they're really suffering. I still believe it. You know, it's not easy anymore. The touring is very heavy now. I mean, to fill like 300 people, like you said, you know, story before in America, doesn't make any sense for us to try to come to America. You know, people always ask me, when you come to America? I said, yeah, what should we do? Should we bring money to play?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, we have to survive. Oh, that's the problem. You know? It's not about being absent, being arrogant. And many fans still complaining why the homepage is not up to date. You know? I don't have time. I have jobs. I have to work. I'm not sitting all the day on. You know, dealing with a webmaster, can you make any news about my last dinner? Yes, you know, you know, or like that year, you know, all the time, you know, always a blabbermouth for every bullshit story. I was tired watching it, honestly.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, this kind of idea. You know, that you know, if I don't have any news, I'm not saying anything.
Yeah.
And people complaining, oh, nothing happened. All the news coming from somewhere else, but not on the homepage. So anyway, that's the situation about, you know, the business in the movement. Very, very hard.
Now talk about the touring plans for the band, and talk about what's up, what's in store for Masterplan as far as playing live.
Yeah, like I said, you know, normally you're planning already to tour when before you finish the album, you know. It's always like 1 month later after the release, you have to go out, bang, 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 you know, being present and showing here you are, Dawn is there, you know. We're just realizing it's not the time anymore. You know, it's too risky. You know, there's no support for the labels anymore because they're just supporting you for the first 2-3 albums maximum. But only on Masterplan, not even younger bands, they do it. So now they said, okay, you have to take the risk. And I said, I'm not taking the risk. You know, we're not sure if selling so many, you know, tickets and all this. So, but basically now we had a talk and Jorn is willing to tour with us and it looks like we go on tour in November. And it's still 100%, but the plans are there. The Dragon Production, our touring agency, is already organizing everything. And so I think we'll be in October in Hamburg. And so November looks pretty good, and we're planning hopefully 25 shows in Europe. And we have offers already from Japan. And I don't think it should be a problem for South America as well. And but America's always, you know, it's just a dream so far.
Yeah, it's a lot harder to come overseas. It really is.
Yeah, I mean, we would love to play there, and I know it will be a lot of fun. You know, I wasn't a long time in America. And I don't even remember when. 7-8 years ago, or something, it was Roy Z visiting or something. And I'm really missing it. You know, I'm really have the feeling I want to go back somehow to get this feeling, you know, from Americans, and you know, I love the country anyway. I was on holiday a long time ago there with my ex-wife, and would love to see many things again, and also, of course, playing in Canada, man. I never played in Canada. It's terrible. So when I left Halloween, they toured in Canada and North Australia. So these countries I'm still missing on my list.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Roland, a question I've been wondering, too, is, you know, nowadays with technology, it's a lot easier to record an album and a lot less expensive. And for you, is it still a lot easier? And what do you think about the fact that it's so much easier for almost anybody to record an album these days?
Of course, it's easier. But I think the problem is that too many bands have now the chance to make their own albums, and, you know, which is good on one side, of course. You have to make quality and a good sounding record. But also, there are too many average kind of sounding bands releasing albums, and I think it's too much on the market. You know, it's like, you know, when you see the magazines in Europe, you know, they have 50 releases maximum always written. And I know they get even more from the labels. and they don't have time to listen to all the CDs, you know. So in general, the market is too full, you know. Compared to the quality you had like 20 years ago, you know, only the ascent of the great bands, which of course only big labels like EMI in the past, and they decided this band has a, you know, chance to be on the market. But now every band can even receive, you know, put their own record out without any trouble.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's on the one side good, on the other side I think it's too much on the market.
Roland, talk about your studio, and you do produce albums in your spare time and mix albums in your spare time, and you know, how could people get a hold of you as far as getting their album mixed or getting you as a producer?
Basically, it's easy to contact me on Facebook, of course, as well, but I have my studio page on MySpace,
mm-hmm.
and many people writing me direct there, and, but also on my private MySpace page, or even on the homepage of Master Plan, there's some links they can contact me direct, you know. And but basically, most of the stuff is coming, you know, mouth-to-mouth propaganda, if you can say. And it's like one band was here, and then, you know, one story was 2 years ago, there's a band called X from Czech Republic, and this band I made just somehow by coincidence very good sounding, and it's like a trash band, and after that, I had 10 other bands coming here. It's amazing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's not just calling me direct, or I have the email address from these kind of band members. You know, that's kind of cool thing. So, and of course, I have some bands from Spain coming, Italy, and Australia as well. Tech Majesty I made, and but this is all more or less, you know, mouth to mouth kind of, yeah, advertising or propaganda. And that basically, I'm not making it too public.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have too many bands coming here, and I'm still not in the league of big producers so far, so that I get, like, bands from Roadrunner or something, like any Steve or something. That would be awesome. You know, but then I guess that the trouble comes pretty big, that Master Plan can't continue anymore, because this mixing jobs or recording stuff is so time-consuming, and it takes all your energy out, and there's no time that you have to pick your guitar anymore,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that's what I did the last 2 years, so I'm not playing much guitar anymore, and I'm looking forward to have the last band next month, then I have 2 months break, and I can finally get back to my passion, you know, playing guitar, fooling around with guitar sound, and then and rehearsing the new stuff already for the tour, and also making less jobs in the next year, because after the tour in January, I have already people asking me, but I want to make it more controlled, because the last year I made it too crazy, you know. And that's not cool when you don't have the privacy anymore.
Yeah, yeah.